Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
What a track. What a bopski the intro to this show really is. Welcome, everybody, to Friday Night Insight, Alex McCarthy's Wrestling Daily. You see it behind me. Welcome, and bringing a closed another week of lovely, lovely streams. We thank you for your support. As you can see on Friday Night Insight, I always have a special guest co-host, and this week it is the finest Scotsman. We're going to assume that Kenny McIntosh won't watch. Gary Cassidy, how are you, brother?
I'm not too bad. I'll tell you, very stressful week, and then just hearing that little tune, man, the theme tune's just put me in a chilled mood, so I'm good to go, and I'm happy to sit back and talk about the slowest news week of all news weeks in wrestling. Nothing's happened. I mean, nothing to talk about. Might as well just shut up shop and talk about Love Island or Newcastle or Liverpool.
Well, did I see you're writing about football these days?
Yeah, just in the wee odd, but I mean, I dipped my toes in a couple of years back, and then the wrestling kind of took precedent, and it all went in the back seat. But yeah, football season started, you know, obviously the crowds are back in and stuff, so revitalised and just want to do a wee something else. Like, obviously still going to be, the bread and butter's always going to be the wrestling, but if you can add a wee bit of mustard on there, then I mean, I'll take it eventually every now and again and do a wee bit of football and see how it goes.
Tremendous. I miss writing about football, I must be honest. Like, it's always weird when you say on Twitter something to do with football and everyone's like flabbergasted. You can't possibly know about wrestling.
Stick to the wrestling.
Yeah. Little do they know. Like, I've played higher than most of those people on Twitter would have ever.
I mean, sometimes you get better promos on Match of the Day than you get on Raw SmackDown Dynamite. So that's.
Yeah, it's annoying. But I mean, saying that, I've got like, I'm hopefully going to cover AJ Usyk boxing next month, September. And then in October, I think I might be going back to Fight Island. UFC have offered me anyway. Nice. So the dodgy Wi-Fi Wrestling Daily fans will return, I'm afraid. I don't know. SB3 will probably steer the ship while I'm gone. I don't know how long I'll be gone. Last time I was gone for like 2 weeks because there was three cards. There's only one this time, I think. So might just be 5 or 6 days. I don't know. Who knows? Either way.
Only 6 days in the sun, Alex. That's such a tough life.
Someone has to do it, Gary. I put myself forward for these hard-earned chores. And, you know, somebody's got to serve the time. I hope it happens anyway. Who knows with everything that's going on. But sometimes, you know, all due respect, I quite like the break from the usual. But, you know, having said that, the wrestling has been anything but the usual. But before I move on to that, you know what was like CM Punk coming back to wrestling? Ronaldo coming back to Manchester. What is this? Thought he was going to City. Now he's come back to United. It seems, from what I've seen, like Sir Alex was on the phone. Rio was on the phone. I don't know if there are football fans watching in the chat right now. But my word, what a day. I'm just glad that he's back in the Prem, to be honest, Gary.
I mean, I am. But as a Liverpool fan, I'm not. So
I've got less to lose. So it's just
I know. I'm. You know. I mean, for my fantasy Premier League team, Bruno is coming straight out there. He's off the penalty duty. No point in having him there. But yeah, Ronaldo's gone straight in 100%. I mean, they've got to win the league now. Varane, Sancho, Ronaldo. Jeez, oh. I mean, and I'm sitting here. We've signed a centre back that's not even played a game for us yet. But That's what it is.
And you know, you've said those signings that they've got, and Pogba has been balling so far this season. He has been absolutely bopping. So who knows? Man, I don't know. Like, for Newcastle, it's a very different proposition.
Saint-Maximin is like one of my favourite players, though. He's incredible. So, and Joe Linton. I mean, at least he's not getting the number nine top anymore. That's something.
Yeah, Joe Linton squeezed out to seven. He's so shy. Yike. He really is. 40 million. 40 million. Anyway, enough of football. Thank you for joining us tonight on, I was about to call it Talk Wrestling then. It's not. It's Alex McCarthy's Wrestling Daily. We've got a lot to get into. We're going to get into the titular news in a moment, which, of course, is Becky Lynch related. But if you want to have your say or you have a hot take, get to WrestleTalk.com/WrestlingDaily. You can have a hot take that the mod mother herself will forward on to us, and you can have whatever you want to say on the show. So please do get involved. My favorite part of the show. We would love to have you. And while you're here, you're going to become a member. When you first start watching this video, there's a little button at the top, and there's something to the right as well in the main screen. So you can become a good egg, like the many good eggs that are in the chat today. There you go. There's Lizzie Stallion, a good egg. There's Gatecrasher Forever, a good egg. You can see that by the symbol next to their name. And moving forward, we are going to be doing special events and gifts, hopefully, for our good eggs. That's what we call our members. So do get involved. Gary, let's talk about the titular news being the real reason Becky Lynch defeated Bianca Belair. I mean, first of all, Adam Blamplate, that's a terrible statement. Newcastle fans are not the worst. I think if you took a survey, there would be at least 10 clubs ahead of us. We're slightly delusional in wanting to be a big club. Other than that, we're a good eggs. Come on now. Come on now, Adam. So the Becky news, as we discussed a minute ago before we came on air, essentially the Observer is saying, Gary, that Lynch drew inspiration from Roman Reigns and his excerpts during her time away. Of course, he's become the hottest heel in the business, WWE at least, during her time away. I do think the situations are different, though, don't you?
Just a bit. I mean, the crowd definitely don't really want to boo Becky Lynch. And they kind of wanted to boo Roman Reigns. So I think they're very different. For me, it is a weird one. I mean, it's probably not going to like change anything with regards to merchandise sales and stuff. People will still buy Becky Lynch t-shirts and stuff like that. The weird thing, I always try and see both sides. And the one side that you know, I'm seeing just now that's not, this is a crazy dumb decision, the one thing that's going against that for me is looking at Drew McIntyre. Weird comparison maybe, but just the way that he was the ultimate babyface for a bit too long, and then the crowd started to get a little bit sick of it, and it's like, is it a preemptive strike where maybe you turn heel before the crowd, you know, turn you heel essentially? So it's a bit of a weird one. I'm not sure about the Roman Reigns reason personally, but who knows? Maybe it is. I mean, he's killing it. He's probably, you know, one of the most exciting people to watch in wrestling overall. So if you're going to emulate someone, why not?
So I think they're saying that's the reason. Right. Like, that's why Becky would squash Bianca, because they knew it would make people unhappy. So we're meant to believe now that WWE are geniuses, and they knew that this is what was going to happen, that everyone was going to be upset, that it wouldn't look good, and people would take this out on Becky, which I don't think has been the case. People are taking it out on WWE as opposed to Becky. You know, her being a fully fledged heel, I mean, they tried this with the Birth of the Man. Yeah. If that's the goal, right? To get people, you know, rallied against them that they cheer Becky, then okay, whatever. But I don't know. There's a few comparisons for me. I saw someone in the chat say about the heel turn for Austin in 01. I mean, obviously, we haven't had anything as concrete as that yet. You know, kind of, I guess just the booking decision, we'll know more tonight with Becky's appearance. But to me, if she was in danger of going stale, as Gary mentioned, which, you know, is entirely plausible, because I think before she went away, she was, but going away probably bought her some time. you could equate it to maybe, do you remember when Jericho came back and I think it was 07?
Yeah.
And he came back and he did like the same stuff with Orton and everyone was like,
Not like, again.
You know, they, yeah, like they really wanted him back. He'd been gone 2 years, but it was just a bit like, oh, you know, you've come back and nothing's really evolved. And I think Jericho's even spoke about this in his book where he could feel it. Like he knew he was like, ah, oh, you know, people aren't buying this like they used to. I need to switch it up. And then he went on this like amazing heel run. But even so, was, and I say this with like the utmost respect, was Jericho ever like the babyface level that Becky Lynch managed to achieve? Like the number one in the company? I don't know that he ever was. I would say he was maybe the top heel from time to time, but I don't know if he was the ever. And he's a great babyface, but I mean, to the point where people didn't want to boo him, he's so good as a heel that people were kind of like, I just don't know.
I think there's two kind of weird parts as well for me. Well, like one of them would be, I mean, look how heel heavy the SmackDown. I mean, I say heavy, the division isn't heavy in any way. It's very light. But in terms of the heel face dynamic, there's a lot more heels already. But what you mentioned there with you know, the booking decision, I feel like that's the way WWE's kind of went the past few years, where it's like not really being able to establish a heel by having a good heel. But rather, you know, maybe it's this new form of heat where it's like, well, if we just give them a segment that will make them boo, we've got to the goal. Maybe not the method that we should get to the goal using, but we've got to the goal anyway just by getting people to boo.
So maybe. Yeah, ipso facto, you know what I'm saying. ends justify the means, all of that good stuff. David Thompson says, are we starting on... he said, good evening. He also said, are we starting on time today? We did, because my laptop is back! No more terrible old laptop for me that takes 10 years to fire up. That is super unpredictable. We're back in business. Thank you very much, David. I appreciate all of your patience, by the way, those days that we did start a bit late, but we're off to the races today. Any thoughts on Becky Lynch? WrestleTalk.com/WrestlingDaily. Get them over to us now. So presumably, you know, they've done this booking decision to help springboard the heel turn. On top of that, is this purely to work with Bianca, right? Is this like a, like, what's the end goal, right? Like, where is Becky Lynch meant to be heading as a heel? I presume it is just to get over Bianca even more. Bianca said many times she wants to be every member of the Four Horsewomen. But Becky, ostensibly speaking, as a heel, could take on like a Toni Storm, a Mia Yim, you know, Liv Morgan. There are a lot of women that could be used properly on SmackDown that aren't getting the TV time at all. And I think that's the criticism right at the moment. All we've really got is the title storyline. That's it. We do have Knox and Shotzi, with Tamina and, well, Natalia's back somehow by a miracle. They're wrestling again. So that's a side story. But apart from the titles, they don't do much with the women. And I get it's only a two-hour show, but there is a lot of talent there where you don't have to keep doing the rematches we've heard about. I know they've done this, or they were going to do this stable with Sasha Banks and Zelina Vega and Carmella. Presumably that's checked at the door now because we don't know what's going on with Sasha. Of course, that's her privacy and we leave her to it. But at the same time, obviously it's dropped out. You have to figure out new plans. And by all accounts, Gary, it seems like the Becky Lynch, you know, panic button, as it were, was pushed pretty late.
Yeah, I mean, I think they had to do something for reasons which may have been related to what happened the night before. They might have had to do something. And I mean, if there is a point where you bring back Becky Lynch, SummerSlam is as good a point as any when the crowds are back and when CM Punk has just debuted the night before. I mean, when else are you going to do it? Otherwise, it's just a waiting game and then people get sick of that. The one thing that I was going to say that I hope, I'm actually kind of hesitant to say that because I would be fearful as to where it went afterwards. Looking at who the two champions are on Raw and SmackDown, I'd love to see Becky and Charlotte team up and do something with the tag titles and then try and elevate both divisions that way. I mean, again, say try and elevate because the tag titles just seem to always get forgotten about anyway. maybe, you know, naivety on my part to think that would be a thing. But it is interesting because, yeah, like I actually seen your tweet earlier about Liv Morgan. I was like, oh, yeah, where's Liv Morgan went? Like, obviously, if she's off TV for a reason, you know, but it doesn't seem like there is, from what we've heard coming out, you know, there's been no reports suggesting that there's, you know, an injury or anything like that.
History tells us she just goes off TV, unfortunately. Yeah.
Exactly. And that, I mean, she's the kind of person where you were looking a few months ago, even as far back as, you know, last year's WrestleMania, looking, going, she could, I mean, very marketable look and everybody loves her. She could easily be a top face on, you know, Raw or SmackDown, but it just doesn't seem to happen. I don't know why.
I've said a million times, I feel like Sonya Deville is right there. I know they're not having her in the in-ring action just yet, but I think obviously she's an amazing representative of her community and all of that stuff with her sexual representation. She, a great role model, full stop, to be honest. And a great look, right? Very comfortable on the microphone. She got really good towards the end of the run of the rivalry with Liv, Mandy. And then the other thing is that I felt like her in-ring game was really stepping up before she went. Like, she had that like aggressive, hard-hitting style. I've said this before, and no one can probably remember this match, but I do. Lacey Evans and Sonya Deville had a match just on TV in the pandemic era, and I thought it was so good. I was like, you know, when it takes you back because you're just like, wow, I wasn't expecting that to be very good. But both of them just beat the shit out of each other, and they're both hard-hitting women. And I was just like, wow, this is very, very good. I think Sonya's got everything to be a top star whenever they're going to pull the trigger on that again. She's far more than what she is right now. And then
I feel like bad takes have been missing for this show, so I'm going to throw one that might be seen as a bad take here. Sonya Deville, the reason I really like her in the ring, you know, obviously the legitimacy and everything, I think Sonya Deville reminds me only in style of Taz. And I love Taz. I'm a big Taz mark. I don't know what it is. There's just something about, you know, the crispness of the suplexes, the way she hits, the kind of hard-hitting style. There's just something there that's always reminded me of Taz. Obviously, they look very different, so it's not the most obvious aesthetic comparison. But, you know, like that, or like the way Shayna Baszler, well, is and mainly was, because we've not seen much of it recently. But yeah, I just think in the ring and on the mic, I mean, it's there. And then you've obviously got the story of what happened. People want to cheer her. She's a great heel, obviously, but people want to cheer her. So,
yeah, I think so too. the suplex machine, Sonya Deville. I like it. yeah, and again, like, you know, just back to what you said, Liv Morgan has been right there. She was getting the reactions at Money in the Bank. Is there really an excuse to not have her on TV since July 18th? What was that, like 6 weeks? Yeah. Nearly. Stupid. I don't know how you can't find the stories. Mia Yim, like, moved over to SmackDown. We haven't even seen her. Toni Storm has only had her debut match, and that's it. What is actually going on? I don't know. But either way, the opponents are there for Becky. Presume we're told. Oh, Naomi's over. It's Naomi on SmackDown as well. She is.
Yeah, Naomi got moved to SmackDown as well. But again, fleeting appearance once, and we've not seen her since.
Get her in the bloodline, man. Just get her in there, for God's sake. Especially after what Roman said, I just thought it's a no-brainer. Just put her in there. It doesn't matter that you're married into it. It counts. I mean, Paul Heyman's in it, for God's sake. Anyway, I just feel like there's a lot to consider with Becky Lynch in this heel run. She wanted it, number one, right? That's what we're hearing. She pitched it. And again, if this is coming together late, it's hard to make all of them pieces fit. I actually think if that was by design at SummerSlam, then they've done pretty well. But we'll only ever be able to figure that out after tonight, right? Like how it's followed up on. And I saw someone mention this in the chat earlier. All four horsewomen, for the first time in like recent memory, are heels. I know Bailey's out for the foreseeable future, and she'll probably get like the Triple H pop when she's back. But
deservedly so.
Yeah, exactly. And I doubt you could have all four of them on one show just because of like the disparity. But if you could have like, you know, the four horsewomen going around as a faction, let's just riff, Gary. Who would you have as like the four women to say, hey, right, like Survivor Series or something? Because I've heard before, like, and I think Kaylee Ray said this, like, new generation. Yeah. And it'd be her, Rhea Ripley, Bianca Belair. And was it Io at the time?
Yes.
I can't remember.
Yes, it was Io Shirai at the time. Because we both got that exact same quote.
Yes.
We both obviously ask great questions. That's why.
Listen, You can't argue the results, Gary.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Before Shopify, were you wondering, where are my sales at? Now you're selling with Shopify, the global commerce platform supercharging your selling. You have no problem selling online, in person, on social media, and beyond. Gary, easy on the cha-ching.
Oh, sorry, but my Shopify sales are through the roof.
Start selling with Shopify today and discover how millions of businesses around the world use Shopify to ignite their selling. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/listen. Shopify.com/listen.
But still, like, that could do a lot for everyone involved. I don't know. I feel like it's worth giving Becky the chance, but everything is kind of pointing to she's just going to end up being cheered. I don't know how it's going to help Bianca. I'm all willing for letting it play out, of course, especially with Becky concerned, but I just don't know if this screams a good idea, Gary.
No, I do think that, though. The fact that it's Becky Lynch, I mean, I think she could make anything work for a start. I mean, the hardest task is getting people to boo her. But at the same time, you've got to think, you know, everybody always talks about this. Nobody's bigger than WWE because they don't really let people get bigger than the company now. You know, understandably so, maybe. But I think if there's one person that's at that level, it's probably Becky Lynch. So if Becky Lynch goes backstage and says, look, I want to be heel, who's telling her no? I mean, it'd be a very tough discussion to have to you know, risk making her unhappy in any way by declining her request. So, yeah, and I love it anyway. I mean, we're only a couple of days in and she's already, like, posting photos of the billboard of the TV show Heels to hit back at the reports and stuff. I'm happy to let it play out. I'm just happy she's back, in all honesty. I'm just can't wait to see what she does.
Yeah, me too. Me too. Mark Board makes a good point here. Sasha will still be younger than 2/4 of that new generation. True. Only really Rhea Ripley is the young one. You know, people didn't really think about this going into WrestleMania, but Bianca Belair is 2 years older than Sasha Banks, which you just don't expect, but she is. And I think Io Shirai is older than Sasha.
Kaylee Ray is 28. I know that much.
Right, so that's in around the same age. What's the year? I thought she was like 30. I'm Googling. Oh, come on. Don't make me click on it. 1990. So, yeah, she's 31. Jesus. All right, well. I've said this before. Sasha's had a ridiculous career already. Like, her body of work. She could retire tomorrow, and you could make the argument she's the greatest female wrestler in WWE history. But there we have it. I know the crew would love to hear that on Twitter. Anyway. Moving forward, we've got a couple of bits to talk about here, and I see one in the chat, which is a nice segue from Harris GTJ. Adam Cole to debut on SmackDown tonight. Honestly, it's just hope more than anything. This is good for us to get into, Gareth. What we did see today is he cancelled his Twitch stream for tonight. He says, you know, something came up. That's led everyone to kind of go, you know, and I guess it could apply to Rampage.
Yeah, it could be one of two things, really.
Or SmackDown. Everyone's like, who knows? But, you know, do we think he appears anywhere tonight? And if so, where?
I mean, my inclination would be that if he's going to be anywhere, it would be Rampage. Out of the two, you know. But for me, it's such a weird one, because the one thing that I hope we don't get, I really hope we don't get Adam Cole back in NXT. I feel like the story's told, it's done, it's been done for quite a long time, and I feel like he's getting to the point where, and I should say both of these names that I'm going to say have brought it back, but Ciampa and Gargano, I felt like there was a point where they just get so stale for me, where I was watching, and I'm like, ah, oh, I know you guys are so talented, but it's just not coming through because you've been the same for so long. And I feel like Adam Cole's in that bracket. So as long as he doesn't reappear on NXT, I don't mind. I think, you know, I think Adam Cole on SmackDown wouldn't be a terrible thing at all. I just feel like he would fit better in AEW, the way, you know, just the way he is in terms of in-ring style. The one thing I'll say, that if he does go to AEW, I kind of hope he is Adam Cole in AEW. I hope he doesn't really revert too much to you know, pre-WWE Adam Cole. I hope we do get, like, the way he's been. I think that charisma is something that AEW could really benefit from. Even though they've got loads of it already, it's something they could benefit from.
Let me tell you, the cat is hot news in the chat, Gary.
I was going to try and point that way. There we go. Close enough. My pointing game is not strong. I'm not going to be winning a Royal Rumble anytime soon and pointing to a WrestleMania sign with that technique.
Super cat. What's the cat's name?
Elsa.
Elsa, like
possibly, Frozen. Yeah, possibly because that movie came out around the time we got her, or a couple of years before, I think it was.
Yeah, that strikes me that your missus maybe had the final call.
I think I actually kind of accepted defeat on it, and then, you know, just went, might as well.
Sure.
I actually think I might have been the first one to suggest it. So maybe jobbing myself out there ever so slightly, but
well, I mean, as people have noted correctly in the chat, Rampage was obviously taped ahead of Dynamite this week. So thus there could be no Adam Cole debut this week, but if he doesn't appear on SmackDown, people will start obviously get talking.
Can what add a vignette in? Mean? A wee vignette could have been added later today. I like how we've both been absolutely jobbed out and not knowing that, or forgetting that Rampage was.
I forgot. I will say, it's so difficult to say what he's going to do, because we are not privy to obviously where we discussed his head with Vince McMahon. WWE were going to take another run at him this week. And you would imagine with everything that's going around, it would be in whoever's interest that does sign him to make it a surprise when he comes out. Yeah. It'd be big business. Adam Cole as well had all the leverage in the world with both parties. Could not have been in a stronger position with both of them really wanting to get hold of him. My gut tells me he's going to AEW, I think, personally. And I've made these points a million times on this show, so I'm only going to give you bullet points. But can he trust what Vince McMahon tells him in a way his push is going to go? Has he looked at the way other NXT stars have progressed to the main roster and how they've then been used? How has guys his size historically done on the main roster under Vince McMahon? There are exceptions to the rule, and he is good enough to be one of those, but it's not a guarantee with Vince McMahon.
Name change to Shorty A incoming if he goes to SmackDown.
Yeah, yeah. Cole. I don't know. Like, I think it's one of those things as well where you look at, if Andrade and Aleister Black and people like that can fall through the cracks, then you better believe that so can Adam Cole. I don't know. If I'm Adam Cole, I'm thinking about all of that. And on the flip side of that, Britt Baker, his partner, is in AEW. She's thriving. She's not just in there. The Elite, of course, he used to be a part of Bullet Club. They are the EVPs of the bloody company. You can bet your bottom dollar they want Adam Cole, and that's an offer there. And the money between AEW and NXT is probably comparable, maybe even better.
Not to mention, he also said that his Twitch channel is going nowhere. So that might lead you to believe that, you know, because if he's going to get that written into a WWE contract, I think there would be a lot of people who wouldn't be too happy that they've had to, you know, cancel their ones. So, yeah, that's an interesting addition. But again, things can change.
Yeah, I just feel, and this is a little bit as well, like I saw Britt Baker talking in an interview, and it's probably tongue-in-cheek, you know, but talking about how Punk and AJ Lee versus her and somebody else. And she was like, oh, you know, we have to get Sunday out of the way. Of course, she could be trolling and stuff, but I don't know, just her demeanour, I don't know. I feel like he probably is AEW bound. Having said that, if he turns up on SmackDown, I'll pop just as hard. Like,
give me that match. That mixed tag team match sounds incredible.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I think main roster, Adam Cole or Adam Cole and AEW both would have the possibility to be great. And I would love it. I really would. It's just a lot more of the stars line up in AEW. And it goes back to what Gary said about Twitch. It goes back to the history he's got of all of the people there. And again, looking at NXT and their moves up to the roster and how they've always done. I just think there's more to it for Adam Cole. I know someone's, Ash Vox has mentioned in the chat that Adam Cole removed the WWE shop link from his Twitter. But again, I think his stuff actually still is on the shop. I had a look earlier. Again, he could just be doing that, right? Like, it's really hard to read into these signs because you never really know. But if you're asking me where I think, without putting my name on anything, or reporting, going back to run it back. I think AEW, personally. Gary, you the same?
Yeah, AEW. I think AEW, and I actually think he's the kind of guy that, one, I think he would want to work in, and two, I think they would want him to work there. New Japan, I could see him doing the odd wee match in New Japan, and I think it would be great as well. And obviously, AEW would not be a barrier to him doing that. So
yeah, exactly. I think, he has done, obviously, Wrestle Kingdom before. I think he did Kyle O'Reilly at Wrestle Kingdom, actually, yeah, for the Ring of Honor title. So we put him in the G1. Or something. The G1 next year could be absolutely ridiculous. If everything comes to pass and like COVID settles down, these stupid variants, the G1 could literally be insane. But either way, like, we know wherever Adam Cole ends up, we're all winners. The other thing I wanted to touch on in the news today, some of you guys may or may not be aware, both Gary and I spoke to Samoa Joe. We were by far the best journalist on the call. But that we would say that.
Patrick is going to be watching this absolutely raging.
Yeah, fuming, as he should be. As he should be. But I did want to talk about, obviously, what I spoke to Joe about. And that would, of course, be WWE's scouting directive, which seems to be the hot term, and also the recruitment policy that is a byproduct of that. Now, for those unaware, Samoa Joe is, of course, a scout in WWE as well as the NXT champion, as perverse as that sounds. And he works alongside the likes of William Regal and, you know, Triple H, and they go out and they look for talent. It's been a bit of an up and down thing where everyone's going, WWE are looking for more bigger, younger guys, which is, I guess, a staple of their recruitment policy forever. And they're moving away from the quote unquote indie target that they had for so many years that really helped build NXT to what it was. As a result, and I think Nick Khan, I always go to say Tony or Nick, Nick Khan said in an interview with Ariel Helwani that yes, NXT is going to be changing and there is going to be a different look for it moving forward. They're going to leave behind basically the work rate takeovers that we loved so much. So in that vein, I did say to Joe, well, what's the deal, basically? Like, consider me naive, and I don't know what the deal is. How does the recruitment policy and the scouting for WWE work in a nutshell? And this is what he had to say. Just to set the table. As for the directive, yeah, there is a directive, and they do come straight from Vince McMahon. So this isn't like Triple H once upon a time going, we could go out and get this guy, we could get that guy, PWG, they just raid. None of that. It's just a case of Vince McMahon saying, this is what I want. He goes on to say, Vince says, hey, this is what we want. But the directives, it's weird. They've been around forever. I worked for WWE in developmental when I was very, very first starting in California. And these directives existed even then. But they change. It changes based on the needs of the company. It's funny. I read the articles. I know exactly what you're talking about. I read the outrage about the directive and I'm like, this is nothing different. And then next week, the directive will be different. I think that at this point, the track record of NXT and the hiring process has shown that. And that's fair. They have recruited like, you know, a lot of cruiserweights at different points and then NFL and, you know, I get it. He goes, there have been different cycles where different types of athletes come in. Everything from independent talents come in to just straight up athletes. These directives change and they shift basically on the needs of the company. The directive right now is probably a little bit younger and looking for a little more athletic, which isn't terrible whatsoever. But the directive will invariably shift as the needs of the company shift. The directive, it comes from Vince. We all follow it and we get the job done for him. And we're happy to do so, Gary, says Samoa Joe. And he just kind of adds to that, because as Gary will know, being on the call, I was like, I was ready to take that answer. I was like, yeah, that makes sense. And he's like, yeah, and another thing. I was like, oh, yeah. You know, and he was like, it really is that simple. And he was saying, it's not that convoluted. We're looking for this right now. Can you get us this? And they say, sure, we're the talent department. We'll go and get you that. It's much like a casting agency. If you're in Hollywood, then maybe a few months later you go, ah, I need this, which is different from what I said before, but can you go and get me that? And as the talent department, you say, you know what? We can go and get you that. They go out and find him what he needs. Yes, that's how it works. I hope I have demystified the process for everybody. Essentially, Samoa Joe is just saying, you're overthinking it. We've all known for a long time WWE are size driven, or certainly Vince McMahon is, Gary. Yeah. It just feels a bit like, you know, they've looked at NXT and said, this isn't working, which I think is also open to interpretation. But Vince has obviously said, that's not working. We want to skew to the bigger guys. We want to bring in the Baron Corbins, the Omoses, and the likes, right? Those big kind of blank canvas talents. What do you make of what Samoa Joe had to say there in WWE's guidance? Because Tony Khan has something to say today.
The one thing that I feel like I should say is, if Samoa Joe writes an autobiography and you do the audiobook, I will buy it, because that was
get
great.
Me in it. I'll do it.
That was fantastic. I felt like I was back in the virtual room with him there when you were reading it. But no, I think it's weird. For me, the main kind of confusion is the timeline. And I loved Samoa Joe's answer already. I said that to you. I thought he did a great job of demystifying it. It done exactly what he said. But yeah, for me, it's the timeline. Because if this came out while NXT was still on a Wednesday on TV against AEW, you'd probably get it. It would make a lot more sense because, you know, sports entertainment, not wrestling. Of course, they're going to want to bring in, you know, NFL players, and you know, you mentioned Omos, who came in as a basketball player called Jordan Omogbehin, and then they just molded him into Omos, and I think you'd have to say it worked. I think they did a pretty good job of Omos. But yeah, I think it would make more sense if they were trying to make NXT an alternative to AEW. But it seemed to me almost like NXT was going to go back to being an alternative to Raw and SmackDown, and be that kind of developmental brand. On the flip side of that, I guess if it's back to being a developmental brand, why would you bring in people that were different from what you want on Raw and SmackDown? Because you'd be training them to go on to Raw or SmackDown, where maybe that's why we've seen such a, you know, I wouldn't say like it's not a disaster in any way, but the way it's been kind of lacking when we've seen talents go to Raw or SmackDown. You've already mentioned Adam Cole and why he would not want to go to Raw or SmackDown potentially, because they might mess him up like they kind of have with a few people. So it would make sense. Maybe that's why there's a disconnect between NXT and Raw and SmackDown. So maybe I guess you go from source and you start bringing in people that you think would be on Raw or SmackDown as a big star, and then just build them in NXT. That said, I mean, I think we've seen some great stuff with the breakout tournament, and one name that I think is the epitome of this, Odyssey Jones.
Yeah, love Odyssey Jones.
My God. Yeah, so I think it kind of makes sense. And I do think, like Samoa Joe, that like exactly what he said about, you know, in 6 months, it might be different. Just the way it is, isn't it? Business, like if you want to make money, I mean, you can't be sentimental and just be like, oh, we'll just bring in, I say sentimental as if they've not just brought in everyone for the sake of other people not getting them, but no room for sentimentality. I don't mind it. I think it's fine. I mean, it's sports entertainment, and if AEW is going to be that alternative, cool.
I do, and there was kind of a precise reason I asked Samoa Joe, not because, I mean, partly because that's where he works and he would know, But, like, you have to imagine when Samoa Joe imagined becoming a scout for WWE, he's imagining going to, like, the California indie events. Yeah. He's imagining picking up the talent who started like he did. And he knows all of these little hotbeds. Like, he's not imagining going to these combines and watching these. I don't know. I could be wrong, but I didn't get a chance to ask a follow-up, obviously.
Got to watch the Miami Dolphins and pick out the quarterback and go, if he ever transitions to wrestling.
But that's what I like wanted to say to him. Like, is this really what you thought it was going to be? But I don't know. Anyway, but while we continue this topic, guys, thank you for watching us tonight on this Friday. Thumbs up, subscribe, all of that good stuff for the Wrestling Daily community. That helps us a great deal. So please make sure you give us the goods and help the good brothers here, the good eggs out, and help this channel grow. We appreciate you. And also, you can have your say in all the things Gary and I are speaking about tonight, WrestleTalk.com/Wrestling Daily. And after we're done talking about the recruitment process of WWE, we can also to do a little Q&A, I think, in the live chat. Anything you want to ask Gary, anything you want to ask myself, fire away. We'd be happy to have you. So the other thing I do want to touch on, you know, WWE want bigger, right? They want larger than life. It's funny because when you look at the biggest and best stars ever, I think maybe Taker's the only one who's like a legitimate huge man, right? Like, I get it. Like, Big Show was a main event kind of level star, but was he ever the top guy in WWE? No, he wasn't. Austin was like what? Yeah, exactly. Austin was like what? 6'2". I think Angle's like 6'2". Brock 6'3". Rock 6'5". Triple H 6'4". Like, they're in and around. I mean, it's still an impressive height. If you're ever in front of someone who's that big, it is an impressive height. Triple H is a big man, isn't he, Gary? But
Slightly bigger than us. Slightly.
Yeah, just a bit. Just a bit. But, like, I think when they start going, oh, you know, we want these larger. I look at Omos and I think, that's going to be tough for you, right? Like, it's very hard to book and protect a man of that size his whole career. Because at some point, you want the match, right? You want them to give you the match that you want to see. And like, for a huge man, I do think it's hard. And it's a discussion to be had. There aren't many guys in around 7 foot. I mean, Kevin Nash is another one, sorry. Kane. Like, but there aren't many that you would say, you know what, that was the guy. And even out of all those names that I mentioned, only Kevin Nash and Undertaker are probably in the discussion of guys who like drew real money. I know there's the whole Kevin Nash, what a shit champion he was in 96. But the NWO angle was an incredible moneymaker, and you have to include him in that. So I think it's difficult. And I see in the chat people going, oh, Big Show made in WWE. I'm not saying where they're made. I just mean in terms of WWE taking someone, big talent, and making them their star. Yeah, Big Show was obviously Paul White in WCW, the giant in WCW. Big Show in WWE.
One thing I think that, you know, might be a potential reason for that is I feel like with big guys, and my perfect example I'm going to use is Braun Strowman here. With big guys, you know, they do make them a big guy and they make them intimidating. But then there's always that entertainment side. There's always that little thing that Vince loves seeing, an entertaining giant. Yeah. And it's a fine balance because if you go too far into it, like Braun Strowman did, he adapted to the entertainment really well, and it was his detriment because after you do that, you've kind of diminished a little bit of the mystique of how protected you can be as a big guy. So I always feel like that's the hindrance on big guys, and it's a shame because Braun Strowman, I mean, my God, the guy was everything you'd think Vince McMahon would want, and he's no longer in the company. So,
I mean, I do understand, you know, that they are like an attraction. Yeah. I get it. I just feel like the way wrestling has advanced over the years, it's maybe foolish, far be it from me to tell Vince that, to kind of discard the elite workers in the world and say, okay, but we're going to focus on big, marketable talent. Because I still think at the end of the day, when the bell goes, there are a lot of fans that need the match that comes with it. You can't just sell on we've got a load of big guys, right? Like there has to be a bit more than that. And I think what I'm trying to say is the real superstars typically tend to be the middle ground. I look at like Gable Steveson, who just won Olympic gold. Good looking guy, huge. He's very Brock Lesnar-esque. He's about 2 inches shorter, but the guy is just huge. He could be, he's like a freak athlete. These are the guys you look at and you think, oh my God, they could do anything. That is kind of the middle ground I think you're looking for. Take them. They can do anything, be anything. Maybe you need that mix. But Vince, and I'm just going on what Samoa Joe says here, he has this directive, presumably because he doesn't feel like he has enough young, big guys. Like, Omos, I don't know, Corbin's in his 30s now. Duke Hudson is 6'5". Yeah. Let go of Braun, obviously.
Yeah, you struggle to think of any.
Not many. I mean, they haven't got many guys under 30 full stop. So yeah. I think the recruitment process should skew younger, whatever the... and I understand that because they've been signed. Eli Drake's an example. A lot of guys who've been around a long time, mid-30s, come on in. And it's like, I get it. They could add something to NXT. But what AEW do really well, in my opinion, Gary, is they have like the legends and the established people, and they have that underbelly of people that are under 30, and they mingle them very, very well.
Yeah, 100%. I think it's the weird thing, though, because, you know, the age thing, I do get it, but wrestlers are wrestling a lot older now.
Like, they are.
I mean, the prime age tends to come at about 40, I think, now, in terms of, you know, Finn Balor's 40, like Samoa Joe's obviously 42, but I guess injuries would maybe mean he might be, I say, winding down. The guy's just won a championship. Yeah. I've got him hanging his boots up. But it seems like, you know, AJ Styles is the perfect example of a guy who came into his prime a wee bit later in his career, and, you know, it doesn't look like he's slowing down too much. So it is a bit odd for me, but I definitely agree in AEW. Like, there's guys there that you look at, and I mean, even around the 30 mark, there's a lot. But if you look under the age of 30, I mean, MJF is the one that always stands out. And then the guys in top flight as well, obviously. I think even looking, I think Riho's like ridiculously young. And then around the 30 age, I think you've got your Darby Allins and stuff like that, who, I mean, that guy could have his career shortened, obviously, by his own in-ring style. But I do think they've got that weird balance absolutely perfect, where you've got older guys and the younger guys, and then you kind of somehow use the older guys to make the younger guys look good. Novel idea, doesn't it? No one that I think will catch on.
No. I mean, Darby Allin's 28. I think Sammy Guevara is still in his 20s. Hangman Page is 29 or turning 30. They're very healthy in that department. Whereas WWE, they only had two male performers under 30 on the show, Dominic Mysterio being one of them, and I can't even remember off the top of my head who the other one was. That would take some racking my brain around. But
did you say SummerSlam?
I think it was SummerSlam I saw. Dominic was one. If anyone can shout out in the chat, go ahead.
I can think female would have been Rhea Ripley, but I'd kind of think any other males.
Yeah, it's a tough one. It's a tough one. What have I got here from somebody in the chat that I wanted to put? Somebody says Corbin is considered a big guy. Maybe he's tall, but that's it. He's not maybe tall. He is bloody tall. He's a big bloke. Like, in the flesh, there's a photo of me with him, and I'm come up below his shoulder. And I'm like,
and I mean, he's not exactly Peter Crouch either. He does have a wee bit of muscle on him.
He's not like, you know, he's not like a beanpole. I would say he's legit like 6'6", 6'7". Like, legitimately, he's in and around that mark. He's a big, big bloke. But yeah, I know what you mean. Like, he's not like a Braun Strowman, if that's what you're trying to say. Yeah. I understand. Right. Let's take a look then. We've got 13 minutes left. So why not? Let's have some questions, little Q&A in the live chat. You guys get it going now. Let us start filling up the chat, and we will get to them in a moment. We look forward to taking those on. Almost, someone said it might be him who's under 30. Let me have a look.
Oh, yeah. He's got to be, hasn't he?
He's 27. There you go. It was Omos, who's the second one. You wouldn't think it, of course, because he's fucking enormous. But there you have it. Gary, man, like, I see you've been doing some interviews lately. I'm just going to ask you about those. Why the live chat populates some questions. Guys, anything you want to know, let us know. Also, while you're here, subscribe, thumbs up, give us all of that good loving. Please do help. Gary. So I've said this before. The thing I really enjoy about your interview style and overall quality of it, you're not just reliant on the WWE anymore, right? Because you work for Inside the Ropes, not like when you was at Sportskeeda, but you've still maintained a very busy schedule. I like getting to know people through your interviews a lot of the time because some talent, I might have seen their name with promotions, but I don't know them very well. So, I mean, what have you been doing lately that people could check out?
So the main one would be Mickie James. So that was the main one, purely for name value, but also the fact that the interview ran almost 2 hours, which was
2 hours,
a little bit longer than anticipated. Yeah,
Jesus.
So the full interview is in the latest Inside the Ropes magazine, but it will be, you know, some of them will be dripping through because some of the stuff was newsworthy, and it would be a shame not to put it out there. Predominantly, the main thing that I had to ask, you know, I've mentioned to you many times, Alex, about my favourite thing being when. And not for the fact they made the joke, but when Triple H made the joke about Paige, I got to ask Paige about it like days later. So the main thing about this Mickie James one was that I was on the media call a few months ago and made the possible mistake of asking Triple H about an all-women's pay-per-view and Mickie James announcing Empower and, you know, or wanting contracted stars on it and stuff like that. So, so the main crux of the interview was me asking her what her thoughts were on Triple H saying that, which is good fun.
Yeah.
Reading out the quote and saying, can you elaborate on what your thoughts are on this? And so it was that, but also a little bit about, you know, Empower and how the full NWA thing came together, because everybody immediately goes to, our husband's there, that's why she's there. But she's actually really good friends with Billy Corgan because of their time in TNA. Sure. So there's like a lot of stuff like that. But yeah, that'd have been the main one. I've been getting the wee odd WWE one as well in the same issue. I interviewed Rhea Ripley for something that I actually think it only pops me, but it's my favourite thing ever for any interview. And it's a thing we do called 20 questions. And there's like 3 of them are wrestling related, but the other 17 are random nonsense about, you know, what's your cheap meal? What's the weirdest fan interaction you've had? You know, who's the biggest joker in the locker room and stuff like that. Just because I'm a massive, you know, Soccer AM fan as a kid, that was the kind of interviews that I don't do the, you know, who's the longest in the shower.
No.
I think that's a bit dated and maybe it wouldn't go down too well.
The Lovejoy years of Soccer AM, by the way, are incredible. But yes, continue.
But yeah, so that's like that. I've got Rhea Ripley was in the recent one, but I've actually really enjoyed doing, you know, them with other people and even people that are, you know, like you said, lesser known. One of the recent ones that I had was Masha Slamovich, who just had her AEW debut on Dark or Elevation or one of those shows. One of those very long wrestling heavy shows that as someone who loves promos, I don't really sit through the full thing, kind of zip through and watch the matches I want. But yeah, Masha Slamovich was one. She's on Empower as well. And yeah, kind of just picking up the odd one here and there. Tucker was one that I interviewed recently that I actually really enjoyed. The main thing for me is... and some would call it lazy journalism, and I get that. But the main thing for me that I love when someone is released for WWE or leaves WWE of their own accord, asking them about pitches that they made didn't quite come to fruition. And it's actually a really annoying thing because you get the answer and
how's
go,
that
oh, I really wish that had happened. Oh, because it's the same question to ask everyone.
Yeah, but come
don't
on
do your research.
Yeah. That's like me though. Like every single interview I get, I'm like, so when you got backstage, what happened? Yeah, you know.
I mean, it's something that's not, and we're not going to bury anyone here, of course. But it's not asking about what wrestlers think of your home country.
Oh
and
my!
It's
God.
Not asking dream matches either. But yeah. I mean, it is a bit lazy because I think I've got so many. Of those questions, I could probably, you know, dive into an interview knowing nothing about the person and still make it to the other side. But I mean, it's the way you deliver the questions, and you know, like we both learned with Samoa Joe yesterday, it's the way you ask a question. You can ask anything and get a good answer as long as you are not a dick when you ask it.
pretty much. That's a very good list of interviews that everyone should go and check out. I know that it's Inside the Ropes magazine. And of course, the website has lots of scoops too. Love Inside the Ropes. Moving along, we'll do a bit of the Q&A here. The first one I can see is from Forgotten Wonder Zubex. He says, not a question, but I haven't been able to watch for like a month. Very happy to be back. Also, I found your intro song. Well done, Forgotten Wonder Zubex. You have been missed, my friend. CM Chris says, question for Alex and Gary. What's the furthest you've ever gone for a football game? Mine is from Newcastle to Guernsey by plane for the FA Vars semi-final first leg in 2013. Wow. For me, Jesus. I mean, going to Newcastle for home games for me is tough. It's like, it's literally
that's
like
probably any away day you could ever have.
It is. So I go straight up the M1. I live just north of London, and that takes me to like the A Road, which is only, I don't know, 30 miles out from Newcastle. So it is the most boring drive in history, just straight up the motorway. And it takes like 4.5 to 5 hours. So doing that like kind of twice a year, you're a bit like, oh man, this sucks. I think the furthest I've gone for a football game. So when I used to play a bit, and I played for Watford when I was 14, we had a tournament in France, like the south of France though, which was kind of cool. You know, getting on London, getting on the plane, and we're all in our like Watford tracksuits and stuff. And I thought, I've made it. I'm already a pro. I was definitely not a pro. But
I can't
it was
believe
very
they
cool.
kept Troy Deeney ahead of you, Alex.
I know. What were they thinking? I know. I mean, I'm as burly as Troy Deeney. So that was a really cool experience, though. We lost in the semi-final that to a team from Guadeloupe. They were massive. They were not 14. I still contest it to this day. But yeah, along the way, we played like teams. I played Dynamo Kiev's academy team. Scored against those. Who else did we play? I think Marseille were there. There was like a couple from around Europe, like Olympiacos maybe were there. It was really cool, really cool. Again, I was like 14 though. So I'm going to choose that one. Gary?
Weirdly, I have actually never been to a match outside of Glasgow.
Wow!
I've done a load of tours, you know, stadiums, like the new camp is one that I think everyone should do, even if you don't like, you know, football.
I've done that. The museum they've got inside it is ridiculous, isn't it?
Yeah.
How can that be inside a stadium? It's huge.
And they've got a chapel inside the stadium as well, in the tunnel. Yeah. And Hamburg are my two favourites. I mean, the Hamburg stadium is very impressive as well. And I went to that after they'd been relegated to Bundesliga 2, which was not the best. Tour guide wasn't very happy. But no, aside from that, I've only really been to, you know, Scotland games, Rangers games, and then kind of neutral games that have took place in Glasgow. Weirdly, I'm going to a football match on Sunday. Very exciting football match. You know, a huge match between St Mirren and St Johnston.
St Mirren! The Battle of the Saints. Can't knock that.
Yeah. So Rangers and Celtic are playing on Sunday. I'm not going to that. I'm going to the match after that in Paisley.
You're going to the real game. What is the dream WrestleMania match that y'all want to see today?
I mean, the easy answer is Rock Roman, isn't
it? I know, Rock and Reigns, I know.
It's the one that you go to. But I think we should take into account that we might see that next year and tick off the dream lists and think of something less lazy.
I'm going to say, for me, it would be Brock and Volta. And the reason I say it might not happen, I've got a hard time believing Brock wants to be chopped by Volta. Like, if he didn't want to work for Dean Ambrose, I don't know how much he's going to want to do that. But that has the potential to be all kinds of awesome. Like, that would make Volta, oh my God, it would be insane. And obviously, having spoke to Volta about it and how much he like thinks Brock is the best, oh man, that would be great. Gary, what you got?
I think I'm going to go slightly differently, show my bias a little bit and go for Kaylee Ray versus, I kind of want to say Nikki Ash just for the sake of having two Scottish women, but I think I would go Kaylee Ray, Sasha Banks. I think that's a match that would, I mean, give that even 5 minutes and I think it'd be a great match, but if you were to give that a bit of, you know, heavy time investment, that would be brilliant.
Wow. I can't argue with that. Kaylee Ray's going to have a ton of great matches on the main roster. Hail Hydra says, what do you think Becky can actually do in order to get over his heel and get booed? It didn't work last time. I'm not sure what faces she can squash that would get her booed. I think that's a very, very fair point. Like, I don't know if there's anyone so beloved that it would get Becky booed. And that's the other thing. Like, maybe people will boo because of, like, the booking, which is, like, not really a Becky, but that's who they'll have to boo to make their point. It's very difficult. I felt like when Jericho did it successfully, it's because he like stripped everything away. Same as Edge. When Edge was at his pomp as a heel, you have to strip all the things that people love about you away and just concentrate on basically being the crappiest person possible. And I guess like you do need strong baby faces around you. I still maintain to this day, The Rock was so great because he had Triple H and vice versa. I just think it's going to be really uphill for Becky to get booed. I honestly think they'll give up on it after I don't know, not long.
Yeah, bear with me here because there is a reason that I bring this up. But the thing that I remembered as a kid hating more than anything was when the Dudley Boys would bring out a table and not put someone through said table.
Ah, yeah.
So I think you need to deny the fans what they want. So I don't know what that is for Becky Lynch, if it's maybe refusing to cut a promo or refusing to wrestle matches. But at the same time, it's still I would be veering more to agree with you in terms that it will probably get given up on shortly when they realise that if you've got something there that people want to cheer, embrace it, because it doesn't happen that often. I mean,
it's much harder to have a hot baby face than a hot heel in today's wrestling. Much harder to get someone who's actually naturally and organically loved. So don't fight it. What we got? Final Region says, did you see CM Punk's shoes? I did. I have no idea what they mean. I saw BD was on there, which I'm going to assume is Bryan Danielson. And I assume that they're either a tribute to people close to him or teases. I don't know, though, Gary. You're very good at this kind of code-breaking stuff.
I actually think the first one was a different message that people took to mean something, and then it's been twisted. So the first one, I believe, had...
AC, was it?
Yeah, but it had AC, and then it had something else with a C. And FC, I think it was, which I thought was like all Chicago or forever Chicago or something. I thought it was Chicago. But then I think people seen AC, said Adam Cole, and then I think CM Punk, being the troll he is, was like, do you know what would be funny this week? I will just write two initials of Bray Wyatt and Bryan Danielson and just send the internet crazy. I hope that's the answer, because I think that is a pretty cool way to go about it. But I don't know. I've not gone all SmackDown hacker on this one yet. So I've left the run on that.
Triple Stroke says, who's had the better in-ring career in 2021? Christian or Edge? Edge, I think. I mean, before Christian had the banger with Omega, I think he was easily Edge, right? Like, I think he had a classic with Rollins at SummerSlam. I think WrestleMania... that triple threat main event is insanely good. I don't think many people loved him winning the Rumble, but he also had like a really good match with Jey Uso on SmackDown. Christian's had like a load of good matches with Frankie Kazarian. He was in that Matt Hardy feud, which was, for a while. But the Kenny match really was where people were like, there's the Christian. There he is, the guy that we knew when he came to AEW. So I don't think it's a knock on either man, personally, Gary, but I would say Edge shades it.
Yeah, for me, I think, you know, if you're looking at it kayfabe-wise, it's Christian because he's got a world title. And Christian, I think, is one of the best wrestlers of all time in terms of, you know, just his intelligence in the ring and also the ability to carry off the things that he's thinking of. But if you're just looking at matches in 2021, I mean, Edge's return has seen him wrestle a way that I didn't think he'd wrestle. I thought it would be, you know, very short matches, you know, hit the spear, you know, do your high spots and get out of there. He's been wrestling like 30, 40 minute matches. and I mean, it's not as if he's doing them every single night, but it's also not as if he's doing one or two a year, somewhere in the middle. So I think Edge for me, definitely Edge. And I mean, I think we'll see a lot of good stuff from Christian as well. So again, no knock on Christian, but Edge.
I do love Christian. Everyone knows this. Christopher Dunstan says, where is Mia Yim or Tony Storm? They are loving the food and catering, brother. That's where they are. As far as I'm aware, there are no other issues with Mia Yim or Tony Storm. I've heard nothing to the contrary. Unfortunately, they just not have any stories for them at the moment, which is a fundamental problem with the 2 hours on SmackDown, but still shouldn't be. They could have definitely rotated, shuffled their deck, I think, Gary, and used them. Don't you?
100%. I think it's, you know, it's crazy when you look at the SmackDown women's roster and see how depleted it is, but then also look at who's being used on TV and who isn't out of that roster. And there's a lot more women not on TV than there are on TV every week. So yeah, it's crazy that, I mean, you bring up Toni Storm for a start and don't use her. But also Mia Yim, I guess maybe it's, you know, letting the retribution thing die down ever so slightly, but you just have her out there wearing her old gear or, you know, cat boots or whatever it is. Mm. And it'd be fine. Everybody would. We'll willingly forget retribution. I mean, we want to forget it. So
I think they'd cheer her to forget it. You know what I mean? Yeah. They'd be like, oh, you made it out of retribution. That's what I think.
That's how you turn Becky heel. You make Becky bring back retribution. Sorted.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah. Yeah. Becky Lynch, leader of retribution. Done. Jesus Christ. Yeah. SB3 makes a good point. Edge has two great matches. Christian's one. Pretty simple math. Yeah. That's fair, I think. Although I do think Christian did.
The logic will never catch on.
I'll never catch on. I do think Christian did really well in that battle royal that eventually then put over Jungle Boy, which I know isn't really, people aren't remembering it for Christian, but he did very well to make that moment for Jungle Boy.
100%. Yeah.
Still Edge wins. The final question, I did have it until I was distracted. It's from Big Man Dogs. How many people suggest Bray Wyatt booked as the new leader of the Dark Order? Would that really be the best option? I'm worried that it would be to Bray's detriment. Dark Order would need a total facelift. I've got two thoughts on this. One, I don't think you can replace Brody Lee in that position. But if there was even one man on earth, it is Bray Wyatt because of their close proximity, the character alignment and stuff. Like, it's the only plausible one you could do, right? Like, even an Eric Rowan wouldn't work. No. Bray could work. He's been the leader of a cult. He's got that equity. Two, I like what the Dark Order have kind of evolved into now. They're not really the dark cult they were. They are, you know, I enjoy what they're doing with Hangman Page. I feel like they've kind of grown out of that state. And although, you know, Bray could come back in and different direction, all that good stuff. I don't know. To me, I'd find it very difficult to make a good case to make it happen, Gary.
Yeah, I'm fine with what Dark Order is now as well. Like, I really like how they've progressed, because at one point we thought they were doomed. I mean, they seemed like they were probably not going to be a faction much longer at one point. But for me, the first point is bang on. I think if there was one person that you could make it a thing, and even, and I wouldn't advocate for this for any reason other than if you were to do it as part of Bray Wyatt, but if you were to have, you know, Bray Wyatt carrying out what he thought Brody Lee would want, he's the one guy that wouldn't seem tacky with, and it wouldn't seem forced, and it wouldn't seem like a bad marketing ploy in any way. So he's the one guy. But for me, the most important kind of thought process behind it would be if it's what Bray Wyatt wants to do. I mean, if it's something he'd find cathartic, because from what we've heard, and from what you'd imagine, the guy obviously would be affected by Brody Lee's passing, probably still to this day. It would be very hard not to be. And just that kind of that flip, that he would be almost doing stuff with Brody Lee as his leader, would be a nice turn of events from what happened in WWE. So I think if it's what Bray Wyatt wants to do, great. Who are we to disagree with it? I mean,
sure,
we're nobodies in the grand scheme of things when it comes to Bray Wyatt wanting to, you know, do whatever he does creatively. And for what we've seen, Bray Wyatt's a genius, so I'm sure he'd carry it off.
Hey, look, I played for Watford when I was 14. I'll tell Bray Wyatt whatever I want. No, I'm only joking. As long as -1 tells Bray Wyatt what to do, I don't mind. -1 has a final say. He's the goddamn leader. Gary, man, it's been an absolute pleasure to have you on. This is Gary's second appearance. You can go back and see his first with Jeremy Lambert from Fightful. We had a nice little three-way once upon a time on this show. It was very good. You can obviously catch Gary. You see his handle in the top right-hand corner. I believe that's changed since he was last on this show. It was once upon a time. It was Wrestling Gary, and now it's the Gary Cassidy. So make sure you go and
follow
him.
Got to change
him.
It for the football articles, Alex. That's the way it's got to be.
Yeah, well, exactly. You don't want to book yourself into a corner, brother. Huh? But thank you so much for joining me, my man. I know we only sorted this out today. Andrew Zarian is meant to be coming on the show in the next couple of weeks. We're still trying to finalize when, but he was scheduled in for today. We are going to have True Hill Heat as well. A collective of those guys coming on in the next couple of weeks, basically when Andrew isn't. So there's a lot to look forward to on the Friday slot, but we'll be back on Monday with Sat and SP3 of their usual goodness. And I'll be here on Tuesday with Sat Iniangi for the call-in. Until then, Gary, my thanks to you. My thanks to the live chat. Thumbs up, subscribe, all of that stuff that I always moan at you about to be good eggs for. Please go ahead and do it. All the love and have a great weekend here from Wrestling Daily.